From the Woodshed, a casual conversation with Chase Morrill and Ryan Eldridge from Kennebec Cabin Company, the team that inspired the hit show Maine Cabin Masters. From the Woodshed is brought to you by Nelma. See the stamp, trust the quality. By Hero Media Arts, connecting small business with new customers. And by Hammond Lumber, your building project partner. Now, from the Woodshed Studios at KCC headquarters in Manchester, Maine, it's Chase and Ryan.
From the Woodshed, I'm Chase Morrill. With me, as always, Ryan Eldridge.
Hey, everybody.
Maggie Morrill.
Hi.
Our guest today is Trish Cheney from Lake Point Real Estate. You can find us at KennebecCabinCompany.com, MaineCabinMasters.com, our Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channel, and check out our online store at shop.KennebecCabinCompany.com. We always want to thank our sponsors, Hammond Lumber Company, the official building material supplier of Kennebec Cabin Company, Nelma, Northeast Lumber Manufacturing Association, Hero Media Network, and Kennebec Savings Bank.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors.
We've been seeing a lot of Hammond Lumber lately. Christmas time, you know, like...
Yes.
It's Hammond Lumber time.
And we've been asking a lot of Hammond Lumber lately,
yes.
But they always deliver.
They really do. I've actually literally had one board delivered before.
Yeah.
When did you start using them? Like, for me, it was like an evolution of my career. Like, I use Home Depot a lot just because it was there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a commitment going to Belgrade, and I thought that was for like the big time real guys, you know, and I was just a fencer back then.
So my grandmother had a Hammond Lumber account.
Really?
Yep.
The first female engineer at UMaine?
Yep.
That makes sense.
So my father, actually a bunch of my uncles owned Tri-City Roofing. It was a roofing company that passed down through the family, but
thank God you broke that trend. We're not roofers right now.
Maine Roofing Masters has everything a horrible ring to it.
Everything I just said about your dad, take back. I love him.
But yeah, so she set up the account originally, and then when I was doing my place in Auburn, I was using her account, and I just, you know, she was very good with numbers, so I'd pay her back, and then kind of took that one over.
Good move.
Yeah.
It is so easy.
Yeah, and it's funny, Farmington Farmers Union, there's still a Tri-City Roofing account that we have shares to.
Really?
Yeah, so I go in there and they say, do you have a share? And I said, yeah, Tri-City Roofing. And
what were the Tri-Cities?
I don't know.
Gusta Gardner Hallwell?
Yeah. But they used to do that and roof shoveling. That was the worst. Yeah, so wintertime, if there's a lot of snow, people will just start, you know, need to get their roofs cleaned off, and people go out there and...
And it's big money. Because you have to do it. So
Yeah. And I remember my Uncle Charlie was home. Like I said, it's gone through a lot of the family, and it was such a bad winter, so we were all...
You could be next, Maggie.
No, thanks.
So he put an ad in the paper under Tri-City Roofing, but it was T. So it was so far down the line.
Oh, yeah.
So he went with Three-City Roofing because they put him in the newspaper alphabetically, yeah. So that put him at the top.
The number three,
Right. The number three. So, you know, because you open a newspaper and you just go right down through the list. If somebody didn't pick up immediately, it was before, you know, answer machines, right. All that stuff, they would just go down the next number. And so,
just like that.
Yeah.
Oh, how times have changed.
And, oh, we had so many roofs to shovel that winter.
And back in the day, a good snow year, like things have changed now because of climate change, but it wouldn't be until like what, mid-January, like usually, that you need it. I mean, once or twice a year.
Yeah. You know, a really cold winter and lots of snow. I mean,
not this year though. What were you guys doing last weekend?
What were we doing last week?
Shoveling roof, weren't you? In Temple?
Oh, yeah, that was Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not me.
It was over 2 feet of snow on that roof.
So crazy.
In one snowstorm.
Yeah, they said 28 inches at Sugarloaf.
Yeah.
Carter, who works for us, lives in Phillips. You see that picture of his deck?
No.
Oh, like 20-something.
Yeah, it was wild. So yeah, our first snowstorm, and we already had to shovel a roof. I mean, it is a pretty flat one, but everybody was shoveling their roof, so.
Yeah. Welcome to Maine. Yeah. If you need your roof shovel, Tri-City Snow Shovelers. I figured you guys have a Martin's account. That's not a thing, though, is it?
No, but I, yeah.
But back to Hammond's, like now, like,
right, yes.
You got to plan it. You plan ahead, like you literally don't have to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, we know what they've got and stuff, and they know what we need. They kind of keep a few, like, they definitely keep a 12-inch shiplap set to the side for us, superboard.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't always mill it up all the time. We go through height of summer, we're plowing through the stuff.
Are you ever talking to me like, man, we're so high maintenance? I do. I'm like, but you know, it's like, I think it's a give win-win. We're a perfect symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Dennis the other day, and he made...
Dennis is our salesman.
Dennis, if you guys know, from Dennis, Dennis, Lumber.
Gusta.
And he brought a pile of 2023 planners. He says, you know, this got all the information you need. I'm like, what are you trying to tell us, Dennis?
Plan ahead.
Yeah, but no, he was very nice. He didn't mean anything nasty by it.
Right, and they give us the best gear. So keep all our guys warm so we can keep working.
Yes.
It's nice, but it's also a good investment by them because they know, like, if the guys are warm, they're going to keep working. We're going to keep buying materials.
Absolutely. Yeah, no.
The circle of life.
Yeah, you know, we love our sponsors, and we love them for a reason.
Maggie's still over here thinking about shoveling roofs for Korea.
No, thanks. Really.
I remember what we did one time.
Do anything.
Climbed, because, you know, it was a minimum payment to even get on the roof. And it's hard work and, you know, steep. And we got up to the top and we put our first scoop in and the entire roof, all the snow just slid right off. It was the best thing ever.
That's awesome. I mean, out west, that's like, it's skiers. That's a full-time job.
Oh, yeah.
Shoveling snow and roofs and... Yeah, no thanks.
No.
I had to tar a roof, and that was enough.
You've shoveled a couple of roofs.
Higgins, you tarred a roof? I'm so proud.
That was the worst experience
of my life. You have done more at your age than most people.
And it was the hottest day, and it was horrible, and I'd never do it again.
Was it Higgins Street?
Yeah, yes.
That flat roof. Oh, it was nasty.
That looked professional. I thought G&E roofing
did
something.
And I was not old enough.
Child labor is the best. Why do you think he had four kids? Come on. Why do you think I married into the family? Because I knew he had four kids. Four laborers.
You're getting kicked out of the family. Hate to break it to you.
How's your new plow?
It's good. It's good. I still got a lot to learn. You know,
a V plow is a whole different ball game, isn't it?
But it's really, like, you know, Ash and I live at the end of the road. Like, I should have done that years ago. It cuts the time down in half. But I didn't realize, like, how the length of the truck. Like, I went over to Clearing and tried to plow that out. I could only get a little bit.
Yeah.
I shouldn't admit this, but I also didn't realize that the plow could hit the bumper, too. So I get a nice little scratch on my bumper now. So if you guys were out there wondering, like, how long it took me to scratch my new truck, which many people were, the first scratch was 6 days in.
Yeah.
And then I noticed the plow might have hit it didn't dent, though. It's just a little scratch. So I'm still learning. But you know what? It's a truck. It's funny because put a picture online, or someone put a picture online, and the truck was like, that's too nice to put a plow on it. It's like, for us, it's like, it's a truck.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I've been driving yours around today because I had some stuff done to that new one, and 188,000 miles. I mean, I remember that was new.
Yeah.
1,500.
Yeah.
What, 2013 or 14?
2011.
2011.
Yeah. I got that truck originally. Sarah was in the hospital with Fletcher, so Eva was 2 years old. Showed up to O'Connor's.
Ash and I were just out of Corton then, I think.
And
stop.
She hates that word.
Yeah, like I said, I was a mess. You know, truck was full of all my stuff. Eva, you know, snacks everywhere. But we ended up with a truck.
You went and bought a truck while your wife was in the hospital having a baby?
Uh-huh. She was in the hospital for a long time.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry.
Just to clarify. She was in there for a while.
She was on bed.
Yeah.
For a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went to the hospital on my first day of kindergarten.
But I mean,
traumatized me.
But that truck's still going.
You know. Oh, yeah, still going. It just, you know, doesn't like plowing as much anymore.
Right. We're not easy on stuff.
No.
At all.
No. And that last snow was not an easy snow to plow.
I think we probably had 10 inches, but wet. I mean, that would have been a couple of feet.
It was wet and heavy.
Nasty.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. I mean, it's pretty awesome. Like what we said, what I always say, I just love Mother Nature to flip a switch right before Christmas.
It's true.
Boom.
Yeah, and then it's going to flip again.
But then it's going to freeze right back up.
It's not going to be as bad for the mountains. Down here, we're going
to
lose our snow.
Yeah, we're supposed to start with snow.
I got to ski here.
What?
We're going to start with a little snow.
Then it's going to rain.
It'll
it all
ice
away.
It right up for a nice solid base for you.
It's a good base, I like to say. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys ski yet?
Yep. I skied yesterday and the day before.
Where at?
Kent Hill. We can't go very far. It's pretty flat, but, you know.
But at least you're
skiing.
Yeah. At least you're suiting up.
And they have snow making out there, don't they? Mm-hmm.
They make snow.
Cool.
Yeah.
So if you guys didn't know, Maggie is one of this year's Kennebec Journal skiers to watch.
That's right. I feel like you told them that last time.
We're going to keep telling everybody.
I mean, because you think. Think about the skiing evolution with these guys. Like, we can't keep up with them now.
No.
You know, it's like...
Yeah. It's...
I'll never forget the time I was showing off. Remember we went to Widowmaker? No, Bullwinkle's. And we went out and we were like, let's do another run. I might have had a couple of drinks. And I try to go off that lip. And I hit...
I do remember
and
that.
I knock myself out cold and I wake up to the three girls right away.
That was not a fun time.
Trying to wake me up. And that might have been the same day we tricked Fletcher. But I mean, look at him now. He's...
Yeah.
Skiing, it's awesome.
Yeah, he's skiing fiend. Skiing and skateboarding.
Change of life.
Yep.
So this is going to be our first podcast to air in 2023.
Happy New Year!
Yes, Happy New Year. We're a little late. Hope you guys had a good New Year. It'll be exciting. You guys got any plans?
Nope. I don't think so.
For the New Year?
Yeah.
Nope.
Nothing big.
Nope.
No.
All right.
Yeah. You?
We're going to go to New Orleans for 4 days.
When?
Wednesday to Sunday. In and out.
New Orleans.
No, Thursday.
For fish?
No, Billy Strings.
No.
Somewhere warm.
I should have known that.
Well, we wanted to go somewhere warm just for a little bit of time because we used to go to Puerto Rico. And then Ashley sent me a screenshot the other day. And New Orleans supposed to be 40, 41 because that Arctic front's coming down.
So it's not.
I mean,
warm.
It's supposed to, no. It's supposed to be brutal cold all through the
so
whole Midwest.
So why did you not pick a warmer place?
We picked it like 2 months ago. New Orleans should be like 65.
New Orleans
right
is supposed to be 41.
Yep.
Ugh.
It should be like 65, 70.
That's awful.
Sucks to suck.
Sucks to be me, but that's okay.
And yet we're getting 50 degrees tomorrow with rain. Crazy weather.
Yeah. Got to play the cards you dealt.
That's right.
So yeah, what else has been going on?
Why don't we not talk anymore?
You don't want to talk anymore? We're just getting back in the swing of things. Yeah. Well, if you don't want to talk, let's take a short break and let's watch this short video about Kennebec Cabin Company. Home of the Maine Cabin Masters, our worldwide headquarters. We'll see you after this short break.
Hi, my name is Ashley Morrill. I am the co-owner of Kennebec Cabin Company, home of the Maine Cabin Masters. We really wanted to be able to connect with our fan base, and we wanted to find a space where we could go and feature all of the artists and craftsmen that I discover through the show. If you see something maybe in one of the episodes of Maine Cabin Masters, you know, you can come into the store and whoop, there it is. We've got a little bit of everything for everybody and then some. This is our lighting section. You have these beautiful handmade lampshades. I think every camp needs a hammock. I say that a lot. I think I say it on every episode that every camp needs a hammock. So when you first walk in, one of the first things you might recognize is the canoe bookshelf. One of the first projects that Chase and I built together. The little onesies, love those. Those are my favorite, might be my favorite item. The beautiful art by Helene Farrar. She actually is our neighbor next door. We're getting new pieces in weekly. Fastest items to always go are these bat boxes. They can house up to 100 bats, but you probably already knew that if you watched the show. We've got all the pictures of all the cabins that we've done hanging on the walls. We have all the artists and craftsmen that I've worked with throughout the shop. You just really feel like you are, you know, right here with us. So come on in and visit us. We are at 915 Western Ave in beautiful Manchester, Maine. Or you can also find us online at KennebecCabinCompany.com. We look forward to seeing you.
And we are back with our guest, Trish Chaney from Lake Point Real Estate.
Hello.
Hi, Trish.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Well, 'Tis the season.
I don't know if you're still feeling the effects of the New Year, but we are. So would you like a water, a coffee, or a beer?
Beer me.
All right, let's see what we got.
Please.
Let's see what we got left over from New Year's. We got Baxter's.
Ooh.
Which one would you like, ladies?
I'll do the stowaway, please.
Stowaway, so what have you been up to?
Oh, well, I just helped a cabin master fan on a third transaction sell a piece of property up on Long Pond. So
nice.
Thank you, Gary and Melanie. That nice. Was the last one of the year. So I've just finished up the year. Looking forward to ski season, a little slow time of year. Ice is coming in on Long Pond today, so it's, you know, kind of the time of year where we slow down a little bit, get on the ski hill.
That's awesome. And
start to plan for next year.
So Lake Point, you guys are based out of Belgrade. That's like your home base.
Right in the heart of Belgrade Lakes. We're right next to Day's store, right on the stream right there.
If you're going to Sugarloaf or Farmington or Black Mountain through 27, you're going to drive by it.
Yeah, there's always a steady stream of traffic on a Friday. People heading north to the mountains. Any loafers or saddlebackers, stop in, say hi on your way up.
Nice.
We're right there.
How long have you been with Lake Point?
5 years. I came over to run the office for a couple years, and it didn't take Dan too long to figure out, let's give this girl a license.
That's awesome.
So this is my third year actually practicing real estate.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And what did you do before that?
I'm actually a marine biologist by trade. So I worked for the state of Maine for 14 years overseeing the scallop fishery. Going to give a shout out for my fishermen. It's Maine scallop season. Most of them are also lobstermen. So support your local Maine families.
Buy Maine lobster.
Buy Maine seafood. Freshest seafood you can get are Maine scallops right now. They're caught and landed every day fresh. That's my plug.
I see everyone has the big bags of scallops like from their friends on the coast.
Oh, yeah.
You don't buy them by the pound. You buy them by the gallon.
No. My dad used to be a diver, so he'd come home with scallops during the season. It was so awesome.
Hand-picked from the bottom.
Takes a long time.
Your dad was a diver?
Yeah, from DOT. On bridges and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And you can get a recreational license in Maine. So if you wanted to go for a feed, you can get a feed. You got to go through the Department of Marine Resources and report them, but they do allow that.
You'd have to dive, right? It's not like you can go get like a 14-foot aluminum boat and drag them. Can you?
You kind of got to.
A pool net.
There is a rec license, a hand drag license that,
they
can do. It's a smaller manner landing. You can't sell them commercially. They got to be for personal consumption. But same with lobster licenses. So
The big guys have the drags, all right, behind the boats.
Yep, mostly down east, but also out of Portland as well. Yep.
And still no Maine shrimp, though.
No.
Oh, I miss those.
No. Oh, those were.
I know, so sweet, those little guys. So good.
They really were.
Did you ever think that you'd be in a real estate?
And when I switched careers, my dad was like, what? You went to school for how long? But all of those skills are transferable. My background's in marine biochemistry, so the water quality stuff, I really like the water quality. I'm Aquarius, water is in my blood. And so, I love the coast, but the lakes are pretty nice. It's always high tide. There's no sharks, no fog banks.
Yeah, that's true.
I know that you have a lot of DIY on you. You've showed us a lot of properties. We've been working with you guys for, 3 or 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And you brought us out to that property you got. And just one of those great stories mm-hmm. about how it was just meant to be.
It really was. So I was able to buy my little slice of Maine last year. And it was a family that property had been in their family since 1935. So it was important for them to put it into the hands of somebody that would take care of it. And there's a couple structures on the property, a 100-year-old log cabin.
Have you got to work on them yet?
Haven't touched the log cabin, haven't touched the boathouse, but I've been working on the main cabin.
Yeah.
And the episodes that you guys do where you're taking apart the cabin and all the mouse droppings and I'm right in there. It's lots of fun doing the demo.
What road are you off again?
Sandy River.
Off Sandy River Road.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I walked out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The one where the Jewett brothers put the foundation
back up. Back in 93.
It's still as good as...
Yes.
And that camp is on a nice solid foundation.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
Good bones.
And it's a great spot.
Yeah, and people ask me all the time, is it, do you buy something that's a fixer-upper? That's the sweet spot. It really is, because you've got a grandfathered footprint close to the water, and you can, I talked to the code officer the other day. Yeah. We can maybe do a little expansion on the camp. So, if you're into DIY, have some connections to the trades, buying a fixer-upper, that is the sweet spot for a lakefront.
But I was also thinking about your relationship with us and how we love that camp, and we would have loved to have done it, but just, it's with us, it's logistics. So, like, we told you not to wait for us.
Oh, and I'm starting. God,
and you didn't, there's just so many amazing properties. Like, we've all driven by there. I didn't even know you could get into that side of the lake there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that whole compound was just amazing.
Yep, I know. I've got my application in with you, along with 5,000 other people.
Right. But yeah, it's just amazing how this property's, like, the one that gets me the most is the Kennebec Land Trust, because I lived in West Garden and drove by there a million times. Like, you go down there, it's just this whole amazing place.
I think Ashley said at one time, one of her favorite things about going to camp is going down a dirt road, a long dirt road, and that is a half mile down a hill, and then it just opens up, and you're like, you're up to camp. It's pretty awesome. Nice. Yeah.
Once you get there, you're there.
Yeah.
No. So let's talk, real estate for the rest of the state. How is everything going?
It's been a crazy 3 years, as everybody knows. The market, I would say, is stabilizing. We had some interest rates come in that really put a cool on things, which that was the whole point. The tricky thing, though, is supply. It's all supply and demand, and there just is not the inventory there, for Lakefront anyway. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of at the end of the year. There's not much left on the market. I've been telling a lot of my clients, let's just get ready for next year. Really what you want to wait for is when the ice is out in the spring, and that's when the next season starts, and then more properties come on. I don't know where we'll be in the spring. That's the million-dollar question, but I have a lot of buyer clients that have just not been able to secure that property, and maybe this upcoming year, a little less competition, a little more chance to kind of vet a property. This year, I was able to, on almost all my deals, negotiate some type of concession from my buyers, which this time last year, you couldn't even do inspections, which is just silly. So this year, there's been a lot more, we call it due diligence. You put a property under contract, and then you got a little bit of period to kick the tires, do some evaluations, and then maybe negotiate a little compensation for a new septic or some water treatment or something like that. So it's a little bit, the ball or the pendulum is swinging a little bit more into buyer's side of the...
You need patience.
You really do. Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because they're not making any more like waterfront.
They are not. And building new, where are you going to find the land? First, and then the regulations.
The codes, right?
The codes. You can't build anywhere near the
water.
Gotta
love your grandfather.
Yeah. It's those. The sweet spot is the old rundown camp right next to the water that you can work with that footprint. Yeah. That's the sweet spot.
But that being said, we've seen some newer camps that are back to 250 feet, and you can do it nicely.
You can.
But you have to find the right piece of property, you know? Yeah. To be back 250, you kind of need a bigger piece of property to make it feel right.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, again, it's how many trees there are. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're back 250 feet and you can't see the water, it's tough.
Yeah. And there is, you can do the point system. I think Pinnacle, All Seasons Tree Service will come and do a grid. It's a 21 points per grid, and you've just got to have canopy. The idea is that you have a canopy there to protect from the erosion. And you can limb up the lower third and kind of trim down the small stuff, and it creates a window through the trees. And the idea is, from the water, you don't want to see the house because that buffer is capturing the runoff and it's protecting the water quality. So it's kind of there to protect things. Yeah. And that's why we are here in Maine. We've got a great resource, and it's 6,000 lakes and ponds. Yeah.
Now, are you finding anybody who, you know, early on in the pandemic purchased a property?
I was just thinking that.
They've been here for a year or two.
Finally spend a winter.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, this isn't...
I've heard of it, and I haven't had a client yet kind of do that yet, because most of my clients are seasonal summer people, summer places. However, I do know that out of the 200,000 people that moved here.
Wow, it's crazy.
This past snowstorm was the first real big doozy.
Wait till this weekend.
And then we're going to have the power outages coming. So we'll see how that plays out, how people really like the seasonality of Maine.
But I think the majority of the people realize it's worth it, you know, with the quality of life. And, you know, we're safe. Pretty safe place up here. And we're sheltered. And
it's not as difficult as it used to be.
Technology.
With standby generators, you know, with CMP, you know, they're on it now, and, you know, alerts and all that type of stuff. And it's not nearly as...
As long as you've got an internet connection.
Right? That's
and there
big.
Are
that
different big. Ways. Fidium's putting new fiber out. There's Starlink. There's
We're on
options.
The space train. We love it.
Yeah.
You're on the space train already.
You can be off-grid if you want, but turn it back on when you need to write those emails to the boss.
All joking aside, I wasn't sure how Starlink was going to work. And we were at the end of a road in West Garden, and all we had was dial-up. And literally, I couldn't upload stuff. I'd have to go to my truck and turn that on. And Starlink's a real deal. Like, we had four or five things going, like upload, cross load, side load. Like,
Yeah, and
technology.
HughesNet. There's a bunch of different options. I mean, obviously, having DSL, like a fiber come in, it's way better. But as long as you have a connection.
Side load.
The old side load. Like on the new forklift side load.
So everybody always wants to know, you know, what are the new trends for 2023? Mm-hmm. What are people, and we'll get to that in a minute, but what are some standards and just constants that always are there that people are asking for? And not, and I mean, above and beyond, on the water and that type of stuff.
Yeah, you guys know our housing stock is pretty old. There's some of my clients that they want an older house with character, fixer-upper. A lot of people don't realize, oh, you don't have public water, public sewer, you know, so you explaining a septic system to somebody, you know, it's a lot, but
stuff we take for granted.
Stuff we take for granted. But there's just not a lot of new construction, so it's, you know, compromises. And gotcha. You know, I think the building is catching up a little bit, but there's still labor shortages, material shortages, the build times are long. Getting back to your question, I mean, I think that people are wanting more individual spaces in houses. It used to be all open concept, right? Everybody wanted to be open, you know, kitchen, living, all open. And now I think with COVID and everybody being stuck at home,
I read that and it blew my mind.
Dedicated spaces are coming back. Double office spaces, you know, a place for the kids to work or a place for mom and dad to work. Two office spaces are
features. Right? Yeah, I guess if working from home now that it's
accessory dwelling units, that's a big thing that's going on.
Had that on my thing to mention. Yeah. Okay, so coming to a town near you, July 1st, 2023, ADUs, accessory dwelling units, granny flats.
Yeah.
It's every town will have to adopt it. And the idea is affordable housing or having some type of accessory structure where a parent, maybe a child could live on
college
the same
kid, right?
Dwelling. Yeah. So I think that the tiny home movement is something that's coming to Maine. People are not wanting big McMansions. They want something small, efficient, easy to heat, easy to maintain. So it'll be interesting to see how in our area all the towns are going to adopt that new law that's coming into play.
Legislature passed it.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it can't supersede deed restrictions, can't supersede shoreline restrictions. Obviously, you got to have a septic to support it.
Right.
But it'll be interesting because there are some manufacturers in Maine that are targeting building those smaller structures. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out here coming up.
Yeah, I think it's more based for, you know, communities, like not necessarily lakefront, but, you know, the lack of affordable housing for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's very popular in other states, and it's coming here. And I think it won't solve the problem, but it'll definitely be an option for people to have to explore. So
I read in a magazine, maybe it was this old house, one of the magazines I get, that they were saying, like, the open kitchens that are now going away, which is, I mean, one of the best things is going on with these old camps or farmhouses and just putting in some beams and opening it up. Don't take away our go-to, you know?
I think with the smaller cabins, people will still want, like, an open space. No, another kind of fun acquisition. My favorite deal of this season was helping the 30 Mile Watershed.
Yeah.
I helped them, I volunteered my time to help them acquire a property in Mount Vernon within the watershed for their headquarters.
Explain what the 30 Mile Watershed is.
So the 30 Mile Watershed Association is a watershed-based association. It's a nonprofit, and they protect and are stewards of all of the lakes and ponds that lead into the Androscoggin River. So Lydie Robbins is executive director of that organization. They do a lot of great work. They have a paddle track. So they put in a Minnehawk and they go right down the watershed through Echo, Lovejoy, Pocasset,
through
Pickerel.
Peggy's backyard.
They
right
do that
the
every
North Wayne Dam.
In July every year.
We've done
year.
That a little bit.
Yep. So they raise awareness, and now they've been renting space in Farmington and had no real, like, physical location for their lab gear, for their kayaks, all their gear. So now they're going to have a place right near Minnehonk Lake, between Minnehonk and Flying Pond, right in Mount Vernon. So that they just closed.
Where at?
6 CV Road. Right on the corner, right by, you know, old Post Office Cafe?
Yeah.
It's right kind of like drive down.
With the water wheel? I wish someone would do something with that water
wheel. Yes, not that one, but near there. Yeah, yeah. It's an old farmhouse.
Don't talk about that.
Dad loves the water wheel. It's so awesome.
Maggie's with me on a tour of that one. Well, that's fantastic, though.
Yeah, so they're really excited. They're going to have some work opportunities kind of cleaning the place up. It's like an 1800 farmhouse, but really nice garage. So they're really excited to have a new home right in the watershed.
Yeah.
So that was like a really feel-good deal that we had this year. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, we, for Joe Stevenson's birthday, we canoed a part of the Androscoggin from Livermore down to the Twin Bridges down in...
On the river.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it's all a lot of sand over there, right?
And just the amount of eagles and fish was just unbelievable. You know, I mean... I was shocked. I was surprised.
The river's come a long way.
Yes. You know, you think, we're going to go paddle down behind Livermore Falls.
Right.
It's not the best.
It used to be really bad. It's an industrial river. A lot of industry there. But, you know, Clean Water Act, things got cleaned up, and it's a very healthy river now. So, yeah.
It is amazing. In our lifetime, like, my parents, grandparents lived on Pittston in the Kennebec, and, like, you'd see, like, one or two bald eagles, and now they're just everywhere to see.
Yeah.
To see nature heal itself in, like, you know, four decades is quite amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, we are blessed to have all these bodies of water and rivers. Definitely. It's what attracts a lot of people to Maine.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are centrally located in the Belgrade Lakes region, but you guys have looked elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done transactions on over 25 bodies of water. Right now I'm actually working on a deal up in Rangeley. Yeah. Love Rangeley, beautiful there. So we are based in Kennebec County and primarily work in the Belgrade watershed, the 30-mile watershed, mm-hmm. and the Cobbessey watershed. Yeah. However, I've, you know, helped people that want to branch out from that kind of central location, but I also have a network of referrals, mm-hmm. agents around the state that, sure. you know, if somebody wants to go way down East Maine, you know, I've got somebody down there, want to go way up north, I've got somebody up there.
And there's more opportunity if people are willing to travel.
Absolutely. I mean, the further north, the further east you go, your dollar goes further. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little less competition. So, and still some beautiful, great lakes down that way. And up north as well. Yeah.
Nice. So as far as, you know, we always ask, I think we've asked Dan the same question, you know, what's the best advice? You know, it seems like things are changing, so.
They are. The market is shifting.
Is the advice changing as well?
So the biggest thing, you know, if you want to start to look in earnest and be, you know, getting ready for the next season, get pre-approved.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, get your pre-approval
letter. It hasn't changed.
We're still seeing a lot of sellers just, you know, you got to have pre-approval to even book a private showing. But that's the most important first step.
No kicking the tires.
Yeah. And a local lender. You know, we have a ton of great local lenders here in Maine. And
we really like Kennebec Savings Bank.
Kennebec Savings, Androscoggin, Skowhegan, you know, any local lender, because these camps, especially seasonal water, lake drawn water, not plowed roads, they are out of the box for national lenders. Mm-hmm. They won't touch them. So you'll get a better rate, you'll get better service, you'll make it to the closing table with a local lender. So the first thing I tell people is have a conversation with a local lender and get pre-approved so you know what the rates are changing, what are my payments, what is my target price range, because the worst thing is going out and looking outside of your range and then you're like, oh no. So that's kind of the first step. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and usually I set people up on a search, kind of get familiar with the market trends. You know, I'll send you how many days on market, what did it sell for compared to list price, get people ready. So that's kind of this time of year we're seeing like all these deals end. But we don't really know where things are going to be in the spring.
Sure.
But that's the first step, yeah.
And you mentioned a little bit earlier as far like inspections, due diligence, it's less, you know, drop the hammer, move fast. You have time now to kind of breathe and do your due diligence.
Correct. I would still say drop the hammer, move fast, put an offer on the table.
Gotcha.
Lock it in. We call it lock it into escrow. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, in Maine anyway.
Put your earnest money down.
Put your deposit down, but include a due diligence. Include an out. So it allows you usually 2 weeks to do some inspections, yep. talk to the code officer, make sure you can do what you want to do with the property.
Make friends with the code officer.
Make friends, have them over for coffee, meet them on the front end, not when you've done something bad and have to undo what you've done. That is, you know, working with a local broker that knows how the code, every code officer is a little different. All towns have different ordinances. You know, knowing for lakes, especially. Every lake is different. Tours, so you can't have jet skis. You know, certain lakes have certain things going on, different characteristics. So
can't ice fish on some lakes, if that's your thing?
Some of them you can, some of them you can't. Some of them you can, you can't keep the salmon. Yeah. Some of them, yeah, yeah. So different lakes have all kind of kind of just, it's, the lakes are as different as people are. So it's matchmaking.
Sure. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, I think we have a few fan questions for you.
We do.
Perfect.
Alrighty. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. This one is from Glenn. When buying a lakefront home, is it wiser to purchase the property because of the land, or should we focus on the condition of the home?
Yeah, so
it's a good question.
It is a very, very good question.
I want to know everybody's answer.
Yeah.
Treasure first.
So in waterfront, it's the land that holds the value. So it's what lake is it on, how much frontage. So most parcels are 50 feet, 100 feet, or 200 feet. Rarely do you have over 200 feet. Those are the legacy larger parcels. So it's the land. You know, is that land flat or is it steep to the water? Is the waterfront marshy and lily pads, or can you jump off a dock and swim? And then getting to Glenn's question, it coming to the structure, it just is a footprint. It's holding a footprint. It's holding
place
a
marker.
Potential. It's a place marker. And anything built prior to 84, before the shoreline rules went in, is going to be closer than 100 feet. So it comes down to compromise. If you aren't a fixer-upper, if you don't have the connection to the trades, if you don't want to spend the time and money and effort of renovating, compromises are getting into a community with a shared lakefront property or a shared lakefront lot. So that's what I did. We bought our house in association with a shared lot, and we got a brand new turnkey Hammond lumber home, right? And so we were willing to compromise not having our own private dock, but we got a nicer home. So it just comes down to the individual. Are they willing to take on a project? Are they willing to be patient? Do they have the resources? Because time, material, finding a contractor, everybody good. Right. You guys are out, you know, a year out right now. It just depends on the individual and what their goals are. But overall, location, location, location.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say the same thing.
I was too.
Yeah. And it's why some of those, there was one down on Harpswell that closed yesterday for $250, and it's just, I don't know if you can save the structure, but it's a footprint. And if you tear it down and do it right, you can rebuild in that footprint. You're buying the land.
Yep.
It starts with the land, but definitely do your homework depending on what you want to do. Because we've dealt with people from out of state that just, they didn't realize that there was rules, like that you couldn't do certain things. Like, and if you come from away and you don't, like really couldn't fathom it. Like,
Where was it? We did one, and if you, oh gosh.
We are still learning rules and regulations.
But we had to reduce the scope of the work because it was a situation where if you put more than
50, was it pipe or pond, pitch or pond?
Yes. Where if you put more than 50% of the value
in get this,
to the camp, then you had to move it back
to the furthest extent.
You had one on Great Pond too, where it was an old beach, and you had to took down that old structure that was like, it was kind of a footprint, but not really.
Yep.
But then you built a whole new structure
at 80
feet back. But that was a negotiation.
Right.
Because they didn't put you back to 100 feet,
right.
But they gave you 80. And you still had a view between you and the water.
So back to the one Chase was telling us about. So that's fine and all. But what hurt them is the furthest extent possible. Yes. Their family owned 5 acres on the other side of the road. Okay? If they didn't own other lot, and I think they only owned a part of it. Mm-hmm. They didn't own the whole thing. The camp next door, where they don't own the lot across the street, they wouldn't. It's too bad that there's not a regulation or commit something that can overlook some of these really quirky things, because that's what hurt them the most.
Yeah, so they had to push. They had to push back.
I just fought to move a new house with a pre-approved building envelope away from the lake. And I got shot down for more reasons than I'll go into, but
good.
But it's just amazing. I never thought in a million years that I would face any opposition from moving a building away from the water source.
Interesting. There must have been a reason.
There was. Moral of the story, yes. Yeah. Make sure you do your due diligence.
And we're still learning, and we've done hundreds of them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But in the long run, it's all to protect our greatest resource we have, which is our state
of Maine. Next question.
Maggie's key taskmaster.
Let's get back on track here. Alrighty. This question is from Sarah. What is a good area to be looking for either land or an existing home to purchase? Would like to be near good schools, close to medical facilities, and good fishing.
Sarah, that's called heaven.
And we got it right here.
Right.
I'd say anywhere in the state, right?
We got it right here, yeah. I mean, it sounds like that person's open, so maybe they're a telecommuting, you know, they can work from home type person. So I think your budget might come into play. You go down to Southern Maine and you're competing with Boston and stuff, but hey, Central Maine's beautiful. We have great schools here. We've got Augusta with capital right here. I think that it just depends on this individual, but I think that anywhere's in Maine, any community is going to be welcoming. We got some great schools, and especially Belgrade has a great elementary school. You know, you guys have some good schools.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, they're all good schools, and any school is going to love having more students.
Right.
You know, I think, like you said, Southern Maine's a different, but like you start getting above, like, yeah, keep the student population up. Mm-hmm. They're going to love it. They're going to embrace it. Mm-hmm. I tell people a lot that, you know, most people, they either drive to Maine or they fly into Portland. But flying into Bangor, you know, opens up, you know, people want to be able to fly and drive a couple hours.
Yeah.
Flying into Bangor opens up a whole new world for
people. You got Acadia, Bar Harbor, the coast, down east.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I don't want to tell you this because I want to buy it. I really love the area east of Bangor towards Lubeck and stuff. It's just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much stuff up there. And literally, it's night and day in a cost comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like slower pace, down to earth. People do anything to help you out. I think generally Mainers will help everybody out. It's overall, I think we just have a great state, really. Anywhere's any
very
community
lucky
here.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Any more questions?
That's all we have time for today.
All right.
Excellent.
Well, yeah, Trish, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to see you again.
It's we're always here supporting the lake, so just putting a plug in there. You know, we've given back this year about $25,000 to all the lake associations.
Nice.
So every time I just donated $400 today. Just every time I do a closing, I give back to that lake association, that watershed association. And so if anybody wants to do any giving and supporting these associations, operate on a shoestring budget, but they do a great job. So giving a shout out to them.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Happy New Year. And
Happy New Year to you guys as well. Maybe we'll see you on the slopes.
We'll be boating before you know it. Five more months.
Ice out mid-April.
And stick around. We've got one of our favorite new segments coming up, Phone a Fan.
All right. We are back with our new favorite segment.
Yes.
Phone a Fan. So we've got a couple of people. Our first one is Madison Blackwell. She's 15.
Now she is.
Now she's 15. She's watched the show since she was 8.
She's been one of our longest fans. You know, we met her like, 6-7 years ago. She's become friends with us. She sends us cards and stuff, and Ashley keeps in contact with her and her mom, and they're down in Pennsylvania. Just really, really sweet people. And, you know, watching her grow up since she was 8 and like loving the show, and she's been doing some really cool stuff on it. She has a she shed and all this cool stuff, so let's try to get a hold of her.
She's made a mean cookie.
Oh my god. She gives Sarah a run for money.
I wouldn't answer the phone if I was getting a call.
We should text her.
Person. Give me your phone.
As a teenager, I would not answer.
I can't.
It could be dealing with a storm now.
Hello?
Madison? Maddie?
No.
Who's this?
Who's this?
This is Ryan and Chase from Cabin Masters.
It is not.
Yes, is this Pam?
It is not.
It is.
Oh my god. Who? Madison.
Oh, yes.
She's asleep in the living room.
Oh no.
I can't believe who's on the phone.
How are you?
Here. Hold on.
Ah, this is awesome.
Here, I'll put it on speaker.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Maddie. I love my new ornament you got me.
Oh, my God. It is Ryan. Oh. Hey, Ryan.
How are you doing, honey?
Sorry to wake you up from your nap. This is Chase.
Oh, hey.
So what's how you guys doing? You guys getting ready for Santa and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, we gotta go pick up my brother tomorrow, and we're gonna have Christmas with him.
Oh, nice!
Are you guys getting any weather right now? We got a crazy storm coming.
It's snowing. It's really cold.
I know. Yeah. Welcome to the Northeast, huh? So how's things been? I was just telling everyone that we've been friends for a long time. We've seen you, like, you've been a fan since day one.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You've sent us some delicious cookies and some very cool projects.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Mimi always plans throughout the year with the cookies.
Nice. We know who your favorite is, but she's not here today, but we're doing our podcast. So yeah, decided to give you a call without her.
And I was just telling everyone, you know, you guys have like been a big DIYers and been inspired. You guys did your she shed. Like, you and your Mimi are always doing really cool stuff, craft stuff. What are some other stuff you guys have been working on?
Currently, right now, I have a little chicken coop half assembled in the barn that I just decided to do by myself.
Nice.
Dad, you guys saw where my dad and I did the front porch.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Making the trees out of old ash logs. So we repurposed the ash logs.
Cool.
Gosh, I don't know. We're always crafting something.
Awesome.
We always send pictures up to y'all.
I know. We see them all the time. Hey, Mom, how are you? I don't know if we've ever talked.
Have I been?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We sit in my chair and watch the podcast when they come out. And we are currently planning a trip up this summer because it's been 3 years.
I know. It's been...
We brought Maddie up. The woodshed really didn't exist.
No, it hasn't been that long, has it?
Yes. You guys aren't going to believe it.
Wow.
Coming summer will be 3 years. We had her graduation party.
Eighth grade graduation, yeah.
At Cat and Company, and there was no pavilions. There was no bar. The only thing in the bar was just the top.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we keep looking at the pictures online, and it's unbelievable what y'all have done.
Well, thank you.
I think you were just doing the horseshoe pits.
We did the what was it called?
Bocce.
The bocce ball, which we never used.
Oh,
because right after we finished.
And there was a red food truck there. That was it.
That was in the parking lot. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That was all that was there.
Well, we are excited to see you this spring.
Well, it'll be this summer. We got to wait till she gets out of school.
This summer, yes.
Fair enough.
That'll be awesome.
Oh, yeah. We're always watching you guys constantly.
Oh, I know. Like I was saying, you guys have been some of our biggest fans since day one. And, like, really, like, one of the amazing things about the show that we've become friends and, you know, we've talked and kept in communication. And really, thank you for all that. You know, it's been quite an experience.
Well, we keep in touch with your dad quite often.
Oh, Mr.
Perfect,
oh, yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Mike, as Madison calls him.
He is a good man. He's
Mike
a good...
and Mrs. Mike, as he refers to them. We always remember them at Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I will tell them you guys said hi.
Okay.
Well, please tell everyone and give them a big hug and say we wish them a Merry Christmas, and we cannot wait to see you guys next summer.
And thank you so much for the Christmas present. Madison's still sitting here in shock.
Yes. Well, I can't take credit for that. It was probably Ashley or Mr. Mike. So I hope you enjoy it. And I have no idea what they did for you. But we know we love her. So thank you.
Oh, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And yeah, we'll see you soon.
Thanks. Yeah. Hey, let us know when this is going to be on.
We will.
We will.
Awesome.
July. Next year.
January
2nd.
January 2nd. Perfect.
We'll see you then.
Super.
Thanks, honey.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.
Oh, that was awesome. She's just so sweet. No, that's amazing. You know, like, we're doing this and it's our life. And if I, like, if you stop and think about how it's pretty crazy, but I don't think we think about it that much. Like,
no, yeah.
It's just crazy.
It is. It
like,
is.
And things like that. Like seeing her, like, you know, she was just a little girl and now, like, she's in high school and, like,
yeah,
it's awesome.
That's fantastic. That's yeah. great. Just all right. Do we have time for another one or should we move on to questions?
Should probably.
I vote questions.
All right. All right.
I mean, that was just a perfect. How can we top that?
That's true. That's true. But if you think you're the biggest fan, don't forget to send your name and number to podcast@maincabinmaster.com. And who knows?
We're doing pretty good at this.
Yeah. One for one.
Totally my new. And last week we came around and scored. So
yeah,
things are good.
Okay.
We'll keep doing it till it's not good. Till we get that one call.
I don't have a car. Screw that warranty.
All righty. Are you ready for your questions?
We'll call Maggie at college.
If you call me, I will be really upset.
You're going to talk to us.
No. I'm going to... I'll have...
We're going to just come into your school then.
We're going to tell me what the number is.
We're going to be like College Game Day. We'll just go do it at her college.
We'll just call admissions and be like, hey, do you mind if we come and give a talk at your school?
Not allowed to. I'm going to go as far away as possible.
All right.
In the unreachable parts of the world.
No such thing.
I'll find one. All righty. Are you ready?
We're ready.
This one is from Pat Woolley. What's the depth of frost line you have to deal with in Maine? I see you have been using drilled metal posts lately.
We have been. We love our techno metal posts. They're called helixical posts. They're driven with hydraulic pressure, right, with the machine.
Yeah.
And they're amazing. They're frost protected, and they do all the work for us.
Yep. Was it 4 feet?
4 feet. That's what they say. Yep. Right? That's what the old timers say. Like, it all depends.
Yeah.
But 4 feet is what everyone goes for. I think you want your trenches at 5 feet, correct?
Right. Get your water lines below the frost line. If you're going to set posts in the ground, get them below frost line. And typically 4 feet, you know, there are different areas in Maine that, you know, up north, I think it might get a little deeper, but.
It's funny because I was just talking to Doug about this because last week, I mean, we got lucky. We got that water line in. Right the day before the storm.
Yeah.
Just in time. And I was, you know, we were talking about climate change, like how crazy the weather is. It gets colder and then it gets warmer. It's like, is that affecting, like, the standards that you put stuff to? You know, and it's like, he does, like, no matter what Doug said, like, because it'll rain and thaw and the frost will go up and down, that kind of always will stay the same. Even, like, in Alaska, it only goes.
Right. I mean, you've got the ground temperature that also is going to help regulate it a lot as well. But 4 feet is kind of the general rule of thumb for construction. And so with those techno metal posts, they've got a plastic sleeve on the outside that kind of allow the frost.
The frost will catch it, yeah, and move.
Move that up and down versus moving the actual post. So.
Yeah, the frost, I'm amazed because they say that if you insulate something on the ground, the frost goes straight down for the most part.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
At least I feel like that's what the old timers say. Maybe someone just told me that. I'm pretty sure, like, just goes up and down.
Yeah.
And the rain will affect it, right? Rain will, say it rains and the water will kind of push it down, they say.
Yep. Yeah. And then again, you know, there's so many different factors.
If you plow.
Yeah. If you plow, if you leave the snow on, it insulates, keeps it a little.
If you plow, the frost goes deeper.
Yep.
The snow is an insulator.
Yeah. And then same thing, if you drive on it, there's a lot of different.
4 feet's our golden line.
Yeah. Safe at four.
Safe at four. That's a great question, Pat.
Okay.
Maggie agrees, so we're in.
I mean, I was mostly confused, but that's all right. Alrighty. This question is from Jim Crump. What is the funniest thing that has happened to you while working on the show?
Funniest thing?
That love letter was pretty funny. Bunganot.
Yeah.
We found some underwears here and there. Yep. What else?
I don't know. That's a tough one. It's all pretty funny.
Yeah, we're always having fun.
Not a good answer.
I don't know. Can I think of anything?
Yeah. Funny? Like,
no. I don't think you're funny.
We know.
So it'd be hard.
All right, Maggie gets to the point for that one. It's just, they all blend together, you know? It's like.
Yeah.
And Doug, we're always having fun.
Yeah, Doug's pretty funny.
Doug's pretty... The time that Doug was really hungover and slept under the camp, and it was miserable. Like, we all think about, like, when the cold... I think of coldest camps, like, PMS was cold because
yeah.
it was rain, and we were filming in the eaves, and it's just soaking wet. And yeah. then the camper next to Dixie's house on the side of Hammond Lumber, that was a cold camp.
What?
Remember that
How did we just switch topics so quickly?
What?
Oh, because I was thinking funny, and it was just That's funny cool. that Doug was...
But yeah, PMS was very cold.
And funny.
That was not
funniest
the
thing, I think, for me was having to chase around emus in the middle of the woods after the Lance's episode.
That was pretty funny.
That is funny. More the most absurd thing.
That was pretty funny. I wasn't there, but it...
Because it was so early in the morning, and I just remember running around the woods for hours and just stopping at one point and being like, what are we doing?
Right. Yeah, you just had this moment like, this is my life.
Yeah, level of absurdity, that definitely wins for me.
Ashley stuck in the clam flap. That was pretty funny. That was really funny, actually.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah. All right. Those are two good options. Yeah,
there's a lot of them. But yeah, if you guys have some thoughts for us, or you want to jog our memory, send us an email.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What are your funniest?
Yeah. Podcast at maincabmaster.com. No prizes, though.
No.
Just pride.
Or lack of.
Okay, one last question. Terry Machowski, I have watched your show ever since the beginning, and I've seen you stain some of the pine planks you put on the walls. I've noticed in most of the houses, they don't look like they are stained. Do you treat the wood with anything? I've been trying to find out what is the wood like years later if you don't stain it or do anything to it.
Look behind us.
Yeah. You know, it's like that golden...
Deeper, like it's a richer color.
Yeah. Reddish, I would say. Eastern white pine, that's the great thing about it. You can leave it natural. You can stain it. You can whitewash it. You can polyurethane it. I think a lot of the times when we go into camps and people complain about it being dark is typically when it was a oil-based, you know, one of the older oil-based polyurethanes, and there was a wood stove.
Oh, yeah. Just like it's...
You know, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where it just... It sticks right to it. It darkens up so much. But, you know, you can definitely leave pine natural. And I think it also, too, depends on how much sunlight, direct sunlight it gets.
It's amazing. So we were down at the woodshed last week filming some stuff, and we were moving stuff around the walls, and you could already see where stuff was. And that doesn't even get direct sunlight inside.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just pine does change over time.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of it's budget. You know, when you say, like, we don't stain a lot, you know, a lot of times the budget doesn't allow us to do that, so the homeowner will come in later and stain it or poly it themselves.
For sure.
Higher budgets, you know, best thing we like to do is poly it. But some people don't like that look, but a lot of people like the almost new look.
And I think we almost exclusively use water-based polyurethanes now on walls.
Yeah, because poor Jake almost killed him a couple times.
And it's, you know, it's a great product now. You can spray it on the walls. You can pre-wipe it on. You can roll it on.
Which you never used to be able to.
Right.
Paint technology has come a long ways.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of Eastern White Pine. It all depends on the look you're going for.
Mm-hmm. But if you leave it, it's going to darken up.
Yep.
Yeah. Good question, though. What do you prefer?
I'm a natural type of guy.
Oh, yeah. See, I want it poly and looking white and fresh.
Yeah. So our family room is super bored.
Yeah.
You know, just face nailed. And that's, we haven't touched it. And it does, it darkens up, but.
Yeah, but you can paint it someday.
Right, exactly. You can whitewash it someday.
Do whatever you want.
Yep.
So yeah, those are some great questions. And if you have more questions, send them to podcast@maincabinmasters.com and we might just get an answer to you. We'll try to.
We'll try our best.
We will try our best.
Yes, and on to last week's trivia question.
Yeah.
It was a hard one. It was a very vague one.
It wasn't that vague.
Oh.
It was a pretty specific answer.
Yeah, that's... All right, read it.
What Brunswick native won a Pulitzer Prize for poetry? It's pretty straight to the point, if you ask me.
Longfellow.
No.
What's the joke?
Don't tell it.
Something about your toes did. the Longfellows.
I'm so confused.
Joshua Chamberlain.
What?
E.E. Cummings.
No.
Joshua Chamberlain.
I looked at
the main Brunswick.
I saw him. I saw a picture of him today. We learned about him.
See, that's
Perry.
Serendipity.
Who's it? Who's it?
You're not going to get it ever.
All right. E.B. White.
Nope. Robert.
Stephen King.
Peter. Tristram Coffin. Is that the right thing?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I give that question a...
A nice executive producer would give us questions we might even have a chance of answering.
No.
Wait a minute. If you don't think we're smart, you should not be giving us these questions.
If nobody got this question right, you need to dumb it down a little bit for us.
No. I will not.
We've been drinking for 20 minutes now.
All right. Here's another one.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
This week's trivia question is, what Portland businessman owned a sugar refinery and became so prosperous that in 1880 he was paying 1/13 of all the city's taxes?
You're such a pain in the butt.
Oh, what was that? What was your landlord in Portland?
He has a name like he might.
Is it Joe Sullivan?
You might be able to find out who
it
is. Remember the guy that had all the places downtown?
Yes. What I love.
Let's just clarify. 1880 is the year we're talking.
Or if you know the old slumlord in late 90s in Portland, we all gave money to send it in.
Half point for that one.
Yeah.
All right. If you know the answer, send it to podcast@maincabinmasters.com. Or if you're like us and don't know the answer, just wait till next week and Maggie will tell us.
And send Maggie some fan mail telling her to dumb it down, please.
All right. We want to thank Trish for joining us from Lake Point Realty. We always want to thank our sponsors, Hammond Lumber Company, Nelma, Hero Media Network, Kennebec Savings Bank. Thank you, guys. And from the Woodshed, we'll be talking to you.
From the Woodshed has been brought to you by Nelma. See the stamp, trust the quality. Hammond Lumber, your building project partner. Kennebec Savings Bank, helping our local community save, thrive, and grow for over 150 years. And Hero Media Network, connecting small business with new customers. From the Woodshed is a production of Kennebec Cabin Company. See you next time.